Parents, if you have a music streaming service like Apple Music or Spotify or whatever, you can download, and I encourage you to do this, Illumination Station. Look for like 2026 VBS Illumination Station, the soundtrack. Those kids in 1 week have met, they know those songs word for word. And you want to talk about have fun. Grandparents, I did this 1 year with my grandchildren. The very next week I was with them for a couple days. And I came up like, man, I bet you it's on my streaming service, Apple Music. And it was. They sang those songs in the car. They would have, turn it to this one. I want to sing this one. Just keep the power, because this week has been just a really powerful week. Every VBS week is incredible at First Baptist. And this week was another one of those incredible weeks. And so that's just a little, take it with you. You can keep it going and keep teaching them. Well, I've used for today the theme verse, John 8, and we're going to talk about shining the light on who Jesus really is and why he came. And the idea of Jesus is the light of the world. Vacation Bible School is incredibly important to us and what it does and in teaching about Jesus Christ. We do it in a fun environment. We do it in an age-appropriate environment. It's an exciting week, as you can tell, just a few of the kids that roam these halls and for this week. And today I will just kind of introduce you to a little bit of what they experience. As Miss Lisa mentioned, day one, they learn Jesus is God's promised son. Day two, Jesus is God's perfect son. Day three, Jesus is the powerful son of God. Day four, Jesus is the proven son of God. Day five, Jesus is God's plan for forgiveness. And these songs that they sang in worship to the Lord just reinforces those foundational biblical truths. Today, I just want to talk about this idea that the Bible uses, especially in John's writing. The Apostle John was communicating the gospel to a universal audience. His gospel is a little different than the other three gospels. His writings to the church takes into the account that the gospel has gone out to the entire then known world, the Roman Empire. It had reached Greek cities and these Roman cities, and it was the gospel for the entire world, not just for the Jews, yes, for them, but Jesus came as Savior of the world, and so he would communicate it in a language they could understand. And the Greeks and the Romans were fascinated with this connection of light and life. Their philosophers love to talk about it. Their false gods, often their highest, most powerful false gods, often were the sun gods. They were just obsessed with this idea. Well, John, like a great missionary, is saying, hey, the real light of the world, you've got false concepts. You're worshiping false gods. The real light that you're searching for is Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. So he would take this metaphor that they were used to discussing and saying, guys, without Jesus, we're all living in darkness. We're all living in darkness. Light, again, in our earthly existence on this planet is absolutely vital for life. There is no light. There is no life. That is just reality. You remove the light, you remove the life. Is it any wonder that in the very first writings we have recorded, Genesis 1:1, and God created, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now notice, And now the earth was formless and empty, and what covered it? Darkness. Darkness covered the surface of the watery deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surfaces of the water. What's the first thing he then says? And then God said, let there be light. Let there be light. John picks up on this foundational truth that is your truth and my truth and everybody you know. Without Jesus, we're all living in darkness, and there's no life there. Our life depends on light. The food you eat, the food cycle, depends on sunlight. Everything begins there. No light, no life. Even your health, your skin is a photocell. It requires sunlight to produce vitamin D, and vitamin D is necessary to live a strong, healthy life. I'll never forget the first time they did all this advanced blood work on me as an adult. I never asked them, and they never told me. They said, you're fine. Well, then as you get older, they start having these conversations with you. Mr. Warnock, you have a few deficiencies, and you need to, we're going to prescribe. And next thing you know, you've got 15 specialists and 14 prescriptions. He's like, what happened? Well, one of them was this. You have a vitamin D deficiency. I said, really? What is it? You're not getting enough sunlight. That was the prescription. Get out of your cave. And unfortunately, I had a dermatologist telling me the exact opposite. Don't get in the sun. Add another prescription, you know. It turns out there is no substitute for sunlight. The real thing. I'm in light all the time. In my office, in my car, in a hospital, I'm under light all the time. I'm not in the darkness, but it's not the same thing as the real thing. And John is picking up on this. Jesus is the real light of the world. He and only He can bring life. Life. Jesus is the life-giving light. John 1:4, in Him Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. That's the truth for you. That's what we've been teaching this week. John goes on in John chapter 3, verse 19. We all know John chapter 3, the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. A few verses after that, he picks up on this idea again. This is the judgment, the light. Jesus has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. There's our problem. We have an old broken nature that is twisted. What we should love, we turn from. What we should hate, we run to. That's how broken and upside down the human nature is without Jesus Christ. Light, Jesus, comes to the world with the message of hope and forgiveness and the offer of eternal life to all those who trust and follow Him. And what did the majority of the people do? They hold on to their darkness. Have you ever noticed how dark, sinful places are? It's always in the dark. I mean, physically in the dark. Why? Because dark loves dark, but light loves light. Well, you don't have anything to hide because you have come to Jesus Christ and received His grace, didn't earn it, don't deserve it, but He offered. You can come back home. You can return to God who created you, loved you, breathed life in you so you could know him. You can come back home, but we got to get rid of this sin. No problem. I knew you couldn't do it. I did it. Jesus did it for you. He is the acceptable sacrifice, and he willingly laid down his life on the cross. Jesus is the life-giving light. How do I receive him? Our theme verse that we taught our children this week, John 8:12. Jesus spoke to them again. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. You do not have to walk in darkness, away from God, trying it on your own, trying to prove, trying to be, failing, struggling with your spirit, with your soul. You can come to faith in Jesus Christ and receive him. We have taught the gospel. Admit that you're a sinner. We have all sinned. The Bible teaches that truth, and it's nothing earth-shattering. It's so very obvious. Place your faith. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he came to give you life and you can receive it. Confess with your heart the utter truth of your decision, of your heart's cry. Jesus is Lord and he's my Lord. And by his help and with his work, I will live for him. The Bible says, ABC, admit your need, admit your sin. Place your faith, believe in Jesus Christ. See, confess that he is Lord and he's Lord of your life. Follow him. Jesus said, whoever follows me will no longer walk in darkness. He will transform you. He will set you free. He will give you the power and the liberty and the forgiveness to return home to God and to live the life you were created for. You were created for abundant life, real life, not a fake, lost, broken, devastated life. We are called to live. And when that light comes in, when that light comes into your heart, when Jesus comes in, everything changes. Life springs forth. And what do we do now? With Jesus in our heart, we now shine. We shine the light. I watched them make this right here. When they hit that with the illumination lights and all the lights went down, man, that thing just shines bright. And that's what you and I are called to do. So you see, Jesus transforms your life, and you look and see, man, I still live in a dark, broken world, and there are people that need to know what I know. They need to know that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. Jesus is God's plan for forgiveness. They need to know that. Well, now that Jesus has come in, the light has come in, now you have something to shine forth his truth to the world. You are the light of the world, Jesus said of his followers. Those who've received his light now shine it out to the world. You are the light of the world, and a city on a hill cannot be hidden. It's just natural. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works now that Jesus has enabled and empowered you to do and give glory to your Father in heaven. What made the difference? Jesus. What made the difference? You just tell them, Jesus. I was living in darkness. I admitted it. I place my faith in the only hope, Jesus. He's now Lord. He leads, I follow. He's Lord God Almighty, and I'm trusting him, and I want people to know, and that made the difference in my life. This past Friday, we were doing Men's Life. During the summer, we meet for prayer there at the Haven Cross. That beautiful, boy, it's just so beautiful there. And as the sun comes up, but when we first get there, it's usually really dark. And this past Friday, this was what I viewed and saw. The moon was in the west, and that cross lit up. And we know a moon doesn't have any light. It's not a source of light. What is it doing? It's reflecting the light. Folks, without Jesus, I don't have any light. You don't have any light. But when Jesus comes in, we now reflect His light to the world. And this vision of this cross lit up, it looked like, hey, the cross is shining so bright that even a moon millions of miles away reflecting that light back. You and I are called to be reflectors, shining forth the light of what Jesus Christ did in our life. What He did in our life. That fact that He made the difference in our life. I mentioned Apple Music. I don't get paid to promote that. I got that kind of phone and I got that kind of streaming service. But I love music. And they got a thing on there called Greg Station. I've told y'all about that before. I didn't know what Greg Station was. I'm thinking, is there a guy named Greg out there that's got his own station? Well, duh, it's the kind of music I've been playing, and they figure that out, and they just start playing music they think you'll like based on what you have played. A song came on that I hadn't heard in 30 years, and it was about this truth. It answered the question. When people look at your life and they ask, how can you explain the difference? You once walked in darkness. How do I now see a different person, a new person, now walking in the light? What made the difference? 'Twas a life filled with aimless desperation. Without hope walked the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched downward. Just one touch, then a new life began. Barren walls echoed harshness and anger. Little feet run in terror to hide. Now those walls ring with love, warmth, and laughter, since the giver of life moved inside. And there's a room filled with sad, ashen faces. Without hope, death has wrapped them in gloom. But at the side of a saint, there's rejoicing. For life can't be sealed in a tomb. You want to know what made the difference? For the old rugged cross made the difference. In a life bound for heartache and defeat, I will praise Him forever and ever, for the cross made the difference for me. The cross is just an emblem that represents Jesus' finished saving work. He lived a perfect life. He died a substitutionary death, and on the third day, He rose again and defeated death for you and you and you and me, for us all. Trust Him. This theme of light and life carries on to the very last writing of the Apostle John. In fact, not only the last writing in the book, to the very last chapter of John's inspired writing, God said, don't forget to tell them about heaven and that idea of how light is life. Speaking of heaven, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it. for the glory of God illuminated it, then the Lamb, Jesus Christ, is its light. You see, when Jesus comes into your life, He brings the light of life. Our hope is that this week, these children in this incredible environment remember how much Jesus loves them, that Jesus cares for them, and that Jesus has the answer for their life. But what's true for the children is also true for you and for me. Has that life-giving message, has it broken through the darkness of your heart? I hope today you can say, Jesus is the light of the world, and He's my light. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, mighty God, we come before You today, and I ask, Lord, that You would do a work in our life right now, that the hope that You've brought would be our hope. There are so many homes where the walls ring with harshness and anger, and little feet run in terror to hide. Lord, I pray today that we would so care about people the way You care about them, that we will reach out to every child in Brookhaven in Lincoln County, every child, and shine the light of hope into those homes. Lord, thank You that so many of our homes are, You've changed them because You've changed us, and they ring with warmth and laughter and love and hope and life. But Father, there are places that are still in the dark. And it doesn't have to be that way. It's not meant to be that way. So Lord, give us a name today, a family. Help us reach out to moms and dads who are hurting. Help us make a way for a child to hear the good news. And Lord, may it also be our good news today. Have Your way in this invitation. If there are those who are now ready to take their stand for Christ, having received Him as Savior and Lord, if there's a family that needs to join or an individual, and this is where You want them to serve and grow and minister and share in fellowship and tell the good news to our world. Maybe someone today is just being called to ministry, being called to missions, or there's a concern on your heart, would you pray for them? Lift them up to the Lord as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Do you have a need today? Would you take that to the Lord today? Would you come?